Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. Where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is a TC America Podcast 10 Questions. I'm with the driver of car number 25 in TCA, Cole Serralo. Thanks for joining me, Cole.
Hello.
Question number one, what was the first car you ever owned?
My first car I've ever owned is a Subaru WRX 2006, which I still drive today.
Well, yeah. How old are you, Cole?
I am 17.
17.
And so I've had the car.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I've had the car since I was 14. It's kind of like a project car. We rebuilt the engine, and it's just been a little fun car that we work on and stuff, and it's fast.
That's cool. So you and your dad, I'm assuming, or your mom?
Yeah, my dad and my uncle.
Oh, that's great.
We work on it. Yeah.
And you're out of Phoenix, correct?
Scottsdale.
Oh, sorry. Scottsdale. I should have known. My daughter lives in Scottsdale. That's why I say it that way. Just kidding you. Question number two. What did you want to be when you were growing up? So at the young Cole, you know, 5 to 10 years old, what do you want to be?
I'm pretty sure a race car driver, because I remember in fifth grade, we had to like do a project about what we wanted to be when we grew up, and mine was a race car driver.
And how did your team? So my son did almost the same thing. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did the same thing. I want to hear though. What did your teachers think of it? Did they poo-poo it? Did they act like you were crazy, or did they support it?
I don't really remember that well, but I just think, I don't know, we had a lot of kids in class, so I'm not sure she was worried.
Yeah, I just laughed because my son got almost ridiculed for it. So, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he always
But like now in like when I'm in high school and stuff, when I tell teachers like, "Oh, I'm going to be gone for a week racing." And they're like, "Oh, track, like running?" And I'm like, "No, race cars." And they're like, "What?"
Yeah. It's weird for them, that's for sure. And the teacher that harassed my son about wanting to be a race car driver thought it was a poor choice for him, which it probably is. But hey, you know, you can't dash a kid's dreams, you know. So I just wondered if you got harassed for it or not.
No.
Question number three: do you have brothers and sisters? And if yes, how many or where are you in the mix?
I'm an only child.
Aha. That's good. More budget for racing for you then.
Yeah, exactly.
Question number four. What's your go-to order at your favorite restaurant?
My favorite food is sushi. Sushi, and my like go-to is Yellowtail, Nigiri.
Okay, very good.
I can eat that all day.
All day, every day?
Yeah, I like fish.
That's cool. Weird that you live in a desert, but you like fish. I guess, you know, something different than the desert. Question number five. Now, you haven't been racing that long, but I think you started when you were 14 or 15, correct?
No, started at 9.
Oh, you did. What were you doing then?
I started in, like, a little cart that we rented from this guy, buying a cart, and then I was racing just with my dad for a little,
sure,
at the local track, and then I got, like, a coach, and then I got better and better, and then we started, like, kind of traveling, like, to, like, California and stuff.
Got it.
And then I met my coach, who now travels with me everywhere. His name's Clayton Snow. And we started in go-karts, and we started traveling. And then we went to Miatas.
Yep.
And we sat for 3 years, and now I'm racing in TCA.
Got it.
In my Honda Civic.
So my question is, since it's 9, it's got 8 years of experience. I'll ask this question. Question five is, what do you wish you knew that you know now when you started racing. So what do you wish you could tell your 9-year-old self about racing?
Not to overthink stuff. That was a big issue I had for many years. I used to overthink a lot on the track, which affected my driving.
So you weren't relaxed enough. Is that kind of what you mean by overthinking? You were.
Yeah. Like I just had too many things in my head going on, and gotcha. Sometimes I try to be like too perfect, you know.
Sure.
Instead of just like relaxing and just doing it.
I think that's good advice for everyone. So that's not just your 9-year-old self, but mm-hmm. that's pretty good advice. Question 6: what's something you failed at? It could be something simple like a sport or a musical instrument or anything like that.
I failed at baseball.
Not a baseball guy?
I did that for a few years, but then I'm just like, I chose racing instead because I don't really like it.
Sure. Question number 7. This works good. Good transition here. If you could choose a walk-up music like they do in baseball, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks batters come up to the plate and they have theme music for themselves, what song would you pick for you?
Kickstart My Heart from Motley Crue.
Okay, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting Motley Crue from a 17-year-old. That's cool.
Yeah,
very good.
This is kind of funny, but I like Motley Crue a lot.
I'm a little surprised by that, but that's awesome. Question number 8. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, what do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
I like to hang with my friends. And go to a lot of car shows and meetups and stuff.
Cool. Question number 9. What's your favorite book?
The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
I read that like 2 years ago.
Yeah, the movie's coming out in like 10 days. Can you tell I'm excited?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Question number 10, when you're alone in your car, are you singing along to the music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? When there's other people in the car, are you singing along?
Yeah, probably.
Chris Haldeman says he sings, but he doesn't do the ghetto arm swing. Are you, like, acting out every song that's on there? Are you, like, beating the drums or going crazy?
Sometimes I do that on my wheel, yeah.
I can imagine with Motley Crue going really heavy in your WRX that, you'd be mm-hmm. doing some headbanging for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Cole, thank you for doing the TC America Podcast 10 Questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Corksport Performance is your Mazdaholic stop for performance parts. Since 1998, Corksport has been giving love to all the ignored Mazda models which everyone drives. 20 years later, Corksport is a leader in manufacturing a full range of performance parts for the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda 3, the ND MX-5, and more. We have real people that will take your phone call. None of that email-only BS from online-only stores. Or a store being run out of their mom's basement in Detroit by a guy named Chuck. Corksport supports simple bolt-on mods, giving you guidance and advice to build your Mazda Speed 3 to over 600 horsepower and be a terror on the track. This is the TC America Podcast, and I'm here with Toby Grohovic. He drives a touring car, the car number 26, the classic motorsports BMW M240i. And Toby, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Joe, for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate your patience. We had a little bit of scheduling conflict and also some issues when I was trying to record the episode up at Portland, so thanks for taking the time out of your busy week to finally get this done. So thanks for that, Toby.
You're welcome.
You were kind of the guy responsible for bringing that M235 over, now the M240 over from Germany, convincing BMW, but what a success that has been, and the success with the GT4 M4 as well. So I just wanted to personally say thanks for pushing BMW so hard for that. I think that
it's been such a great revitalization to the series with BMW. So thanks a lot for doing that. And what's that journey been like?
Yeah, no, it was a pretty neat journey, I guess. When I first heard about the M235 iRacing being built in Germany, I kind of just started contacting BMW, begging them to bring the car over to the U.S. And I got with World Challenge Technical, Dan Goodman at the time, and said, hey, wouldn't you guys be interested in having this as a GC car? Let's try to convince BMW to bring it over. I think it'd be a great car for GC, and it's always been a dream of mine to race full-time in touring cars, so kind of pushing BMW, pushing World Challenge at the time to make it work, and finally, at the end of 2015, after a couple of years of working on it, I got a call from Victor Lou, BMW Motorsports, and he said, we're sending two cars, bringing two cars over to the U.S. for you guys. We're going to do the BOP test at the World Challenge, and should have two cars before the first race at Circuit of the Americas.
And that's how it all began. So that's how it began, at least the latest chapter. But let's go back a little earlier. I think we talked a little bit that you were born in Chicago and your dad was a racer. Is that correct?
That is correct. So I was born in Chicago, and I think I was probably about 3 years old. My dad was racing in supercars all over Daytona, Road Atlanta, Road America, Charlotte, and a bunch of other famous tracks around the country. And me and my brother and sister and my mom, we'd hop in the Suburban and go around the country to all the races with my dad. And we had a great time. I remember going around and riding my bicycle around the paddock, and it's a neat experience.
So you were a true track rat kid growing up at most of the different go-kart places around the country and racetracks around the country. That's cool. What's your dad's name?
Dwayne Grohovic.
Dwayne Grohovic, yeah. And I remember back in the day him running around kind of in the Midwest areas and some of the tracks like Road America, like you talked about. I remember Mid-Ohio, and maybe it was you at Mid-Ohio as well. So what was it like as a childhood? You're the middle kid, I know that much, and your brother's 8 years older, so that's considerably older. Were they involved in motorsports as well? I mean, I know they went to the track, but did they have the same enthusiasm for it as you do?
My brother, I don't know, he did some track day events and stuff like that, but he never really got the opportunity to race since he was older at the time, and my dad was racing in the early 80s, and then he stopped for a while, and didn't pick it back up until, I think it was like 95, we started building the World Challenge car. So there's a little bit of a gap there. And then he was off and joined the Army and wasn't around a lot during that time.
Right.
So
it really came to you, and you helped your dad build that first World Challenge car, it sounds like?
Yes. It was actually my dad and Shane Lewis. They teamed up to build two, I think at the time it was World Challenge T2. They were Chevy Camaros.
Cool.
So we campaigned them in 1996 and 1997.
Right. Awesome. And your sister, is she involved in any way in racing or any of that kind of stuff? Or is she, what's her take on auto racing?
She'll attend some of the races and stuff, but she never really got into it.
Sure.
She was more into figure skating and stuff like that.
So you guys are, do you ever do any ice racing since you like the ice and you're a hockey guy and racing, you ever try that?
No, I never got the opportunity to do that. We used to go snowmobiling quite a bit and go up to the snowmobile derby in Eagle River.
Yeah.
Sometimes so it was kind of fun to go watch. Those guys are crazy.
Yeah, I lived in Cleveland for 2 years and I drove 400 miles each way to race in upstate New York on the ice, and it was truly, from a San Diego guy who grew up in this area in Southern California, to go ice racing was amazing, and I really recommend you doing it, especially with your hockey background. Sometime you just have to find someone in the Northeast and then upstate New York area that's got a BMW you can go run, because it is a great time. When you were a kid, what kind of kid were you? Like, what'd you like to do? What was your, you played hockey, so you're up early in the morning doing hockey practice, probably before school, that kind of thing all the time? Or how serious were you with hockey?
My brother played, so like since I was, I don't know, I guess like 3 years old, I always wanted to go and play. So I started playing about three, and then we ended up playing like 7 days a week. Used to travel all over U.S., Canada, playing on select teams and AAA teams. Played in the Michigan National Hockey League, so we'd travel to Detroit every other weekend, or the Detroit teams would travel to Chicago to play. There was two Chicago teams at the time in AAA. So we did a lot of traveling to play hockey and played in a lot of cool tournaments and played against a lot of players that ended up playing in the NHL. That was pretty neat.
And so did you play after your youth? Like, did you play in college or do any other outside of the, like, I'm not super aware of the club stuff, but I know they have, like, junior teams, and then they go, you know, some people go to college, some people go to the NHL draft, that kind of thing. So where did you stop doing hockey and transition into racing?
So I started racing pretty heavily, and I guess when I was 18 years old, in the Neon Challenge. I raced go-karts for a little bit. I had a big crash, and that's when we decided to build the Neon American Club Racer that we had into a race car, and got it caged and started racing FCCA club races. It was a Schoenstock B car, but it was also a Neon Challenge car. So it was pretty cool to go to those races. And Road America, there'd be like 100 Neons out there. So I'd do that during the summer and then be playing hockey all winter. And then I ended up going to Robert Morris College, which is actually now Robert Morris University. It changed its name after I graduated, and played hockey through college and had a great time. And thought about going to play in Europe and trying to make a European team, but I was pretty focused on racing at that point, so I never did.
Yeah, that Neon Challenge back in the day was pretty wild and woolly. I mean, I just remember, yeah, there'd be 100 cars at Road America, and maybe 60 of them would come out of the race, because it was just crazy tight racing and lots of fender bending and pushing around and that kind of stuff. But it was a wild, cool race series back in the day. And Schroem Stock Racing, that's where I kind of grew up as well. So I did a lot of the Schroem Stock Racing, and we raced, Jim and I both raced various Mazdas, and we were always battling with the Neons about something. Even in the Speed Vision Cup days, we were always battling with the Neons. So they were, it was a formidable little program they had for 4 or 5 years there. So after you ran the Neon Challenge, then where'd you go? What'd you do in racing? Did I lose you? Toby, are you there? Hi, Toby. Are you there? Toby? Now, how can I have complications with the phone? I don't get it. Are you there? I hear you now. Nope. Hey, Toby, you there? I can't hear you, so I'm not sure what's happening. Are you there? Toby? I don't know if you're on a headset or just a regular phone, but I cannot hear you at all. Toby? Huh. Very strange. Maybe call me just on your cell phone. Hey, Toby, gonna just try your cell phone?
I tried my cell phone. Is this working?
Yeah, it works fine.
Let me, is it clear, or do you want me to go see if I can get a new, my headset working on my phone?
Yeah, no, we can just do this. I think this sounds fine.
Okay.
If you're okay with that, then we can just go with this.
Yeah, I'm fine with this.
All right. I'm not sure exactly where you dropped off, but we'll, I'm going to pick it up kind of after the Neon Challenge thing and just kind of ask you. I don't think that recorded because I don't remember you answering the question. So I'll just ask the question again and we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
So after the Neon Challenge and SCCA, Shrome Stock Racing, where'd you go next? What was your next race car?
So after Neon Challenge, I contacted Peter Cunningham and Nathan Bonneau and talked them into building a Acura Integra GSR for me for Shrome Stock B. So I believe them and Real Time and King Motorsports built me the Shrome Stock B car that I raced in SCCA Club Racing for, oh, I guess until about 2005.
Yeah, I think you win a national championship in Shrome Stock Racing as well?
I won actually two national championships.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, so I raced that car, never won the national championship in the Acura, finished second. I think I finished third, maybe another podium. And then in 2005, or actually, well, 2004, I finished second to BMW Z4. Driven by Jim Lighthouser. And in 2005, right before the runoffs, I heard that Eric Moss at Classic BMW bought Jim Lighthouser's Z4. And I'm trying to think, I think Brian Leed was talking to Jim Lighthouser, and he's like, hey, tell Toby you should call Eric Moss and about driving the car at the runoffs in 2005. So I didn't know who Eric Moss was at the time or anything about Classic BMW. So, can't remember if Jim Lighthouser gave me the... actually, no, it wasn't Jim Lighthouser gave me this phone number. He's like, hey, call Tim Breck. And I called Tim Breck, and he gave me Eric Moss's phone number. So then I called Eric Moss and said, hey, this is Toby Grahovic. And he goes, I know who you are. And it shocked me. He's like, I've been following your career because I bought this car that won the national championship, and you finished second, And so I asked him about renting the car for the runoffs that year in 2005. And I came down. He's like, oh, come down to Texas and go test the car. And so I came down, went out to MSR Crescent, and he was impressed with the times I was turning my first lap out. And we made a deal to run the runoffs that year in 2005. And I put the car on pole and led every lap and won my first national championship. And
that was the beginning of your relationship with Classic BMW, I'm assuming.
Yep, and it's been I've been with them since 2005. And
yeah.
So almost 15 years now, which is pretty exciting.
So go ahead and talk about your second national championship before I rudely interrupted you.
That's okay. So then after that, he called me up maybe a couple months later, and he's like, hey, I just bought this Bob Stritch World Challenge car, and why don't we go run U.S. Dream Car? So in 2006, we ran U.S. Dream Car and that, and then we also continued running SCCA with the with the Z4 and running in Schoenstock B. We finished second in the championship in U.S. Touring Car, won a couple races, had a lot of fun. And then, let's see, it was about December of 2006, he decided to buy two Z4 Grand Am Cup cars. So in 2007 and 2008, we ran Grand Am Cup, or Coney Challenge, I think, at the time. We had a couple podiums, never won a race, but we were close. We were leading at Mossport with two laps to go, and ran out of fuel.
Oh.
So that was, we were so close to winning one, but one of these days we'll win one of those Grand Am Cup, or now it's IMSA Michelin Cup races. That's our goal, along with running World Challenge, which we love.
Sure. I hate to say this, but Jim and I ran as well in that series when it was called the Speed Vision Cup. And Jim actually won a race, and I finished second like six times. So unfortunately, Jim's got me on that regard. He's won a IMSA Cup race, and I haven't. So, and he's got that on you now, and he'll probably never let you forget it. So you're going to have to go do that at some point.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool.
And you've done some other stuff too, right? You kind of have done a lot of driving, instructing, and teaching, and those kind of things, as well as your racing. Talk about that a little bit, about that background. You know, I know you've done stuff with Real Time with some of their drive and learn events and some other things like that. Talk about that a little bit. Your job as a precision type driver.
Yeah, so after Real Time built the Schoenstock B car for me, they were doing an event in Chicago for Bridgestone, and Nathan called me up and he said, "Hey, you available to come out and instruct at our Bridgestone Driving Learn?" And so I went out and started doing that for Bridgestone for, I guess, until I moved down to Texas in 2014. So I did that for almost, I think, 14 years, working for Real Time and then working for other manufacturers and doing lots of private coaching. Did some stunt driving in some Bollywood movies, which was pretty neat.
Bollywood meaning Indian movies? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yep.
Wow. That's a weird one to fall into.
Yeah. So I got a call one day said, "Hey, any way you could get to Michigan tomorrow to, I need a stunt driver for this Bollywood movie." So it was a pretty neat experience. They set it up like it was New York City, and we were racing, doing car chases through the streets.
So you got to do a car chase through a fake New York City. I mean, I've never had anyone say that before. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience. So I got to do that a few times, and
I mean, who wouldn't want to do a car chase through New York City? I think that's every guy's dream, to be able to rip a car around the city streets in New York. And even if it was just a set, they make those sets very realistic. So that had to be an incredible, incredible experience.
Yeah, no, it was really a lot of fun. And I didn't know any of the actors, but they're all like some of the top actors in Bollywood. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Okay, so sorry, I got you a little bit off track, but so you we're going to go back to the racing now. You were running in the Cup Series in IMSA, and that was in the mid-2000s, it sounds like, something like that, or late 2000s?
Yeah, so 2000, I guess 7 and 8, and then at the end of 2008, that's when like the economy started to take a turn for the worse. So then we cut back on the racing with Classic and just went down and just did some FCCA club racing stuff. Went back and the runoff that year was at Road America, which I consider like my home track since growing up in Chicago. And we won the runoffs in 2009 again in the same BMW Z4. So that was pretty awesome. And then we still did some club racing the next few years. And then in 2013, Tom Bull, who used to manage Classic BMW Motorsports at the time, he passed away from cancer. So then we took a year off and didn't do any racing that year. And that was actually when my daughter was born. We were living in Detroit at the time. My wife was doing her residency. So I got to spend a lot of time with her as a baby and stuff and take care of her doing that. Well, my wife was super busy with her residency. And then 2014, my wife applied for her postdoc. We always kind of wanted to move down to Texas and be close to Classic and the race team. And she matched for her postdoc down in at Cook's Children's Hospital in Fort Worth. So it worked out. She did her two-year postdoc, and we ended up moving down here. And we moved down here. Eric called me into his office, and he's like, "Hey, what do you think of starting the race team back up and you coming in and managing it?" So 2014, we built an e-production car and dedicated to Tom Bull. We call that car the Bull to dedicate it to him, which that's we had a lot cool. of fun running that. And we ran it in e-production, and we also ran it in NASA at GTS3. We finished second at Laguna Seca in the NASA National Championship. And then 2015 came around, and our showroom stock B car, I called up Dan Goodman and asked him if we could run it in TCA. So we ran the June sprints in for SCCA at Road America, and then the following week was the World Challenge race. So we kept the car there and finished on the podium in all three races in a showroom stock B car. which was yeah, it was pretty awesome. So because it was, really wasn't prepped to be a TCA car, and so after finishing on the podium all three races there, we decided to go to Mid Ohio, and like growing up in Chicago, Mid Ohio was close too, so I had lots of laps at Mid Ohio, and we actually went and won a TCA race at Mid Ohio, finished on the podium all three races there as well.
And that's awesome. To let people know, who are your main rivals in that when you were first doing TCA? What cars were running then?
So that was when with the Kia.
Yeah,
the Kia was with Jason Wolf.
Yeah, who's now running against you in GT4 and a BMW. So yeah, yep.
Yep, and then Tony Rivera was in the. Not the BRZ, the Toyota version.
The Scion.
Yeah. The Scion, yep.
Yeah.
Or Scion, yeah. And then Techmark was running their, or not, TechSport was running their Mazda RX-8s.
Yeah, I remember that as well. Yep.
Yep. So.
That's about the era. Yeah, and you did well, and that probably lit the fuse for you to figure out a way to run World Challenge, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so then a couple of months after that, we BMW said they would bring the M235 over, and so that kind of got all that started. So,
and I'm not sure on this, but were the first 235s, did they all go through Classic BMW Motorsports as the sales arm for BMW, or could they buy them? How did that work? Were they buying them from BMW, or?
So there's eight or nine BMW dealerships around the country that could sell the cars. Loyal BMW and then BMW New Hampshire. I think it was Classic BMW and BMW New Hampshire, I think, sold the most cars. I think we sold 13 M235s in the beginning.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were the exclusive thing, because I knew you were selling a lot of cars, and they, you know, as soon as people saw the car, really, when they saw it and saw how well it was doing and how well it fit into the class, they just started selling like crazy. I don't know how many of those cars are now, or the original 235s are running in the U.S. or sold in the U.S.?
I believe there's 50 cars in the U.S. running around. I know there's a lot of them running in club racing now, which is exciting to see. And it's actually what I believe kept the value of them is really high. Like, they're selling for almost the same price as new.
Wow.
As used right now, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and you helped build the reputation of that car by, you know, bringing it out, and then I think you won the first year, the championship the first year it came out, correct? Is that correct?
Or? Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Our goal that year was a podium was a win, and try to finish as many races on the podium and stay out of trouble. And that's what we ended up doing.
Staying out of trouble seems like it could be a stretch for you, but you were able to pull that off, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. So now this year you're running, and last year too, you ran the M4 and GT4 as well as touring car. And I don't want to get too far off in a tangent, but on GT4, because this is all about touring cars, because that's really what my love is. And, you know, but I'd like to hear about your transition to the GT4 car. Was that difficult to do, or was that a pretty easy transition?
I thought it was a pretty easy transition. It was a lot easier than I actually thought it was going to be. BMWs are the ultimate driving machine, and between the touring car and the M4 GT4, the M4 just does everything a little bit faster, handles a little bit better. It's got more power, bigger brakes, you know, and it's got more aero. So it took, maybe a couple laps to get used to it, but it was pretty easy transition, I thought.
And when you're going back and forth at a race weekend, like, I don't know if you ran the GT4 car at Portland, but I know you've gone back and forth at a few events this year. How is it difficult to jump back and forth, or is it pretty easy?
I know, like, so I did at Circuit of the Americas, I drove the TC car first, and then drove the M4, which I thought was easier to switch from the TC car to the GT4 car. Then at Sonoma, the races were reversed, and they're back to back. So after I got out of the GT4 car, I had Jeff Holcomb, one of our crew guys, sitting there with the golf cart. He gave me a ride from Parc Fermé to the grid. The car was already on the grid, and slid my helmet on and run it down pit lane to jump in the car. And the first couple corners was a little hairy, going from the GT4 car that everything's really stiff, and to the TC car where it has power brakes, and you got to be very careful on the brakes. You can't put a lot of pressure like the GT4 car. You have to slam on the pedal to get it to do anything. So it was, I would say, the first couple corners was like, oh boy, but. you adapt. I've been racing for so long, and I've driven so many different cars that it's pretty easy to adjust.
Yeah, I can see, though, in the first, you know, jumping right out of the car like you did, you didn't even really have time to think about, okay, this car is totally different than what I was just in. Your mindset is still over there. I can see how it would take a few corners and going in, you know, for those of you who don't know, Sonoma's built on like a hill. So turn one and turn two are climbing a hill, and it gets really narrow, and there's cars usually everywhere. So lots going on at the start. So I imagine that would be a rather exciting. So getting adapted quickly. So you're currently second in points in TC this year, and you haven't gotten a win yet. And I know that's starting to bug you quite a bit. And I know how hard you're trying to get it at Portland. How's your year gone so far?
It seems like I either finished second or 10th or 11th. I know at VAR, I ended up in a car that spun collecting that car, and had to go in the pits for a new tire and new tie rod end. But my crew did an amazing job putting the car back together, and actually on the last lap of the race, ended up turning the fastest lap of the race, which I was totally shocked. I couldn't believe it with the way the car was. But I was so mad that I was driving as hard as I possibly could to get 10th place because I wanted to get that last point. And I finished right behind the 10th place car.
Isn't that how it? You know, your hardest race you've ever driven was for 10th. I mean, that happens more often than people realize.
Right.
So yeah, I understand that about how difficult when a car's not perfect and you're starting in the back because of a problem and you're fighting your way through. That can be frustrating. And what does the future hold for you? I mean, I know we still have 3 race weekends, so 6 races left in TC. You still have a shot to win the championship. You're going to have to go on a streak here. Do you think you can go on a streak, or how are you feeling about the last 3 events?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about the last 3 races. I really love racing at Watkins Glen, Road America, which is basically my home track, and then going to Las Vegas. Nobody really knows what to expect there. It's a new track for everybody, so I'm looking forward to it. I know I got to score some more points than Johan, and that's going to be my goal, and hopefully there'll be some cars in between me and Johan so I can close that gap.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it all my all to try to win the championship. I really want to win a second championship this year, so...
Well, I think everyone who knows you knows that you've got the ability to do it, and maybe just a few things have to fall your way. They haven't fallen your way so far this year, but that's not to say it can't happen now, and kind of coming into your area of your favorite track. So Vegas is a bit of a wild card. No one really knows what to expect. I think the last road course race they ran there was in the late 90s. I actually raced in an IMSA race there, so I know the track a little bit, but most people aren't aware of it. It's the Roval, and I think it's a great way to finish the year with no one having driven there. You know, it's really going to be a test of the teams and the drivers at the last race to try to figure it out the quickest, and I think whoever figures it out the quickest will probably be the team that wins that event and have a big leg up in the championship.
So yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to Vegas being the finale with nobody running there, and I think we have lots of data on these cars from running in the last 4 years, and I think I got a good crew to help me dial that car in fast, so I'm excited about Vegas, and we'll see what happens, and it should be an exciting show. Touring Car is always great competition and puts on a good show every race, I believe, so it should be an awesome finish to the year.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Have you thought about what you guys want to do next year? Are you starting to formulate any of those plans, or can you discuss that with us at all?
So, yeah, for 2020, we're looking at doing a young driver program. We've been talking about it for years, and we're in the process of looking for sponsors to help support it, and we're probably going to try to have a shootout at the end of the year for 16 to 18 year olds. There'll be more details to follow, but it'd be pretty neat to give a young driver an opportunity to race in touring car and try to help launch their career and see if we can move into the next step.
That's cool. So you'll announce more details on that coming up, but people are going to hear this and are going to want to figure out how to apply and to be involved with that. I'm sure. I think everyone would jump at the chance. I think people are now trying to figure out ways to make their resume look like they're 16 to 18 years old. So that sounds like a really interesting and cool program. And I think a lot of people will get excited about that. That thrills me because I want to see that age group running touring cars, because to me, it's the best formula that we have. And, you know, it's such great racing, and it's got a lot of history. And yeah, I'm really excited to hear about that. So I'm sure people will be chomping at the bit and wearing your phone out trying to get more information.
Yeah, no, we're excited. It's still a work in progress, and we'll have an announcement soon. If 16 to 18-year-old drivers want to send me an email and I can send them more information as we have it, they can send me an email at tobyg@fasttrackracing.net.
TobyG@fasttrackracing.net. Okay.
and we'll send them more information and how to apply and as we have the details.
Yeah, and I'll put that in the show notes. And yeah, don't call him. Email him so he can handle it. And yes. It's a work in progress. So I think he and BMW will be overwhelmed with people that want to do it. I think it's going to be a huge success, at least with the number of people that want to get a chance at it. So I think you should be ready for that. So this won't come out for a couple of weeks, so that'll give you a little bit of time to kind of formulate your answers for these people. But I imagine you'll start to get some emails very shortly. Well, that's exciting. That's good to hear. What about you personally? What are you have any plans racing wise other than the Young Driver program?
Yeah, look forward to hopefully continue racing in GT4, and maybe I'll get an opportunity to run in TC against one of the Young Drivers. I'm not sure yet, but it'll be something that we'll be working on over the off season. And I love racing in TC. It's 40 minutes of flat out racing, and if you look at like the Portland results, I think the top 14 were less than a second apart.
Yeah, they were. In qualifying, I think it was less than 1.2 seconds for the whole field or something crazy like that. So it was a wild, wild field so close together.
Right. Who doesn't want to race in that kind of competition? It's an awesome place to be, and I really enjoy racing in TC America.
You know, we love having you there. We love the vision that you've had in the past, and we appreciate all the things you've done to get BMW and cars to come play. And look forward to your Young Drivers program, and I think a lot of people will be excited to hear about that. And it's been great to get to know you a little bit. And yeah, thanks for being on the show, and we'll see you up at Watkins Glen.
Thanks, Joe. I had a great time, and we'll see you at the Glen.
Thanks, Zoe.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.